This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Raise Your Game. I'm Tasha Fusil. Now, we all get into certain states when faced with a problem or a challenge. In the second episode of our Clean Language series, Jacqueline Surian of AMK Transformations goes through the five clean questions that we can ask to coach ourselves or others from a state of problem to a state of outcome. Jacqueline, to start off, can you give us a recap of what we spoke about last week?
Well, in the first episode, we looked at what clean language is and how it can be applied in helping us to become even better listeners and in supporting somebody to gain clarity about an experience that they're having so that they can find their own solutions. And in the first episode, we looked at some of those very basic clean questions. And there are 8 basic clean questions. Some of them are, what would you like to have happen if somebody is experiencing a challenge or a problem? The other one is, what kind of outcome is that outcome that you would like, for example? Mm-hmm. And another clarifying question could be, is there anything else? We might also ask, and where is that thing that they are referring to? We could also move time forward by saying, and when that, then what happens? Or move time backwards and say, and what happens just before you do that thing? Or just before that event happens. So these are some of the basic clean questions that we covered in the first episode.
And it's a funny thing. I mean, these questions sound very natural. Like, it doesn't sound like something you have to consciously think of. But you'd be surprised at how much we don't use these questions when we're having conversations with someone, especially when it comes to communicating about a problem.
Yeah, I think that the kind of way that most of us communicate is that when we're listening, we're actually listening in a way internally. I'm formulating my answer and how I'm going to reply to this person, right? So with clean listening, that's not what's happening. With clean listening, I'm just paying exquisite attention on what the person is saying. And I demonstrate that by repeating back just their words in a way that demonstrates curiosity, in a way that demonstrates neutrality. And there is no judgment, there are no assumptions in those questions. So it's called clean because the questions are formulated in the way that they're so neutral that I'm not polluting, for example, your experience, the experience you're describing, with my experience or my judgment or my assumptions. There is no pollution involved, and that's why it's called clean language.
So there's definitely a time and a place to use clean language. When would clean questions come in most handy, and when would it sort of, when is it not that necessary?
When it's not necessary would be when you need to be directive. So for example, if there's a fire in the building, I'm not going to be asking you, Natasha, and what would you like to have happen when there's this fire in the building? I would be saying, Natasha, get out.
Okay.
So that's an extreme example. Another extreme example would be if somebody rushes in into the bank and says, I've lost my wallet and I've lost all my credit cards.
Right.
And if the bank officer were to say, and what would you like to have happen? That's not going to do very much for customer service. Yeah. But you might use clean questions in bits and bobs. So if a customer walks in and says, I'd like to make an investment, then the banker might say, and what kind of investment? Anything else about what you'd like your investment to do for you? So that's an example of using 2 clean questions. And then what happens is that the banker could first gain really, really high understanding of what the customer needs and then offer the different packages or products or services that they have. So it's about just, first of all, acknowledging that the client or the person you're speaking to is the expert on what's going on for them. The banker may be an expert on their products, but the customer is an expert on what he or she needs and what his or her risk appetite is. So it's about finding that out first before you would recommend something. So like I said, we use clean language when we're coaching, and we use clean language only when we're coaching. And that's a different kind of context. You could be using clean language in bits and bobs conversationally.
What's important to know about the person that you're speaking to when you're conducting a line of clean questioning? Especially when they're experiencing a challenge, what do you have to be mindful of the other person?
Yeah, so we'd like to introduce listeners to this episode to a model called the PRO model that was developed by World Clean experts Penny Tompkins and James Lawley. And PRO stands essentially for problem, remedy, an outcome. So the way to think about it is that when we are coaching someone, or even if you're just having a conversation with a friend or a family member, is to notice what paradigm are they holding when they're having a particular experience, especially if it's a challenging experience or a difficult experience. Are they in problem paradigm? Are they thinking, oh, woe is me, you know, I'm a victim and oh my God, and bitch and complain and grumble about what's going on? Mm-hmm. Or are they in solution paradigm? And by solution paradigm, I mean a way where they're like, oh, okay, maybe I could try this. Maybe we could look for this solution instead. Here's what I would like to have happen. Kind of solution focus instead of being kind of stuck in that problem state. And so what the PRO model does is that it gives coaches and it gives people who want to listen even better a way to think about how can I support this person? It's a way to notice, is this person in P, in R, or in O? Let me say a little bit about what P, R, and O actually mean in this model. So we know what problem is. So problem is any kind of sentence that demonstrates that the person isn't enjoying, doesn't like. So things like, I hate it, or I can't stand it, I'm fed up. Those are clear indications. In a sense, it's a linguistic assessment of where the person is at that point in time, along a spectrum of that experience, right? If a person says, I can't stand it, I hate the traffic on Monday morning. And if I wanted to support the person, I might say, and you hate the traffic on Monday. And when you hate the traffic on Monday, what would you like to have happen? That's an invitation for the person to begin thinking about a desired outcome.
So making that switch from P to O.
Yeah. Okay. So it's about helping the person move or shift from being in the problem state to moving to an outcome state. The research shows us that people who focus on solutions and outcomes are far more successful in life than people who are constantly stuck in problem. I mean, we've had management gurus like Stephen Covey. If you remember his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, habit number 2 is begin with the end in mind. So the PRO model is a way to help people move, should they want to, from a problem state to an outcome state. So outcome, most of us would be familiar with that, would be any kind of sentence which has a desire word in it. So I want to, I would like, for example. And there is something new in the person's life or universe that makes the person's life better. So I'd like to be cool, or I'd like to be confident. I'd like us to be a high-performing team. These are all outcome sentences. And then there's this thing called remedy, which is the R in between the P and the O. And remedy is somewhere in between problem and outcome. And again, it's a linguistic assessment. So one way to think about a remedy is any sentence that has three different components in it. One is it's got a desire word. The other is that it still mentions the problem. Mm-hmm. And the third thing is that it wants to avoid, reduce, or stop the problem.
What makes it different from the outcome if it has a desire word in it?
That's a great question. So what makes a difference is that in the remedy sentence, there's still the mention of the problem. So let me give you an example. You know, it's been really, really hot this past few days, right? So if somebody says, it's been terribly hot, they are in problem in that spectrum.
Right.
And if I were to say to them, and when it's terribly hot, what would you like to have happen? And they said, I want to stop feeling hot. That's a remedy sentence. So I want to is a desire word. Stop is to avoid or to, to put a stop to the problem.
Right.
I want to stop feeling so hot. And if hot was the problem, they're still thinking about hot. And then if I were to say again, oh, and when you stop feeling hot, then what happens? And the person says, I would like to be cool. Or then I'll be cool. And so cool becomes something that's new in this person's universe. So now we know what the person wants. One way to think about it is, do you know what the person wants as compared to the person not really yet being clear about what they want?
Right.
So with problem sentences and remedy sentences, the person may not be clear yet about what they want. And if I'm coaching that person, I'm not clear yet about what they want.
Mm.
So a simple example would be if you ask a colleague, what would you like to have for lunch? And the colleague says, I don't like nasi lemak. I want to stop eating nasi lemak. Do you yet know what it is that the person wants to have for lunch?
Anything but nasi lemak.
And what is that anything?
Right. Okay.
So how can you or she take appropriate action to have just the kind of lunch that she wants if it's not yet clear what her desired outcome is?
So in that situation, I mean, do you have to consciously guide them to an outcome or do you stop at remedy? How does it work?
Another great question. So it really depends on the context. The idea behind coaching is to eventually help someone develop a well-desired outcome from whatever situation it is they're facing. And we don't impose that on clients. If remedy is where they need to be, then that's where they need to be. You know, it's not about me coming in to say, oh, I think you need an outcome.
Right.
It's an invitation for certain, but it's also about honoring the person and listening deeply to that person. And sometimes that's what's needed. I need to stop being abused. If that brings them to a better place from I'm being abused, that is still a much better place than when they were in problem.
Okay. So does that imply that focusing on the problem is a bad thing? How do you know when to move, when to push? Or it really just depends on the answers that the person is saying. You just really have to listen to what the person is saying.
I think it's context. So let me give you an example. I have a friend who used to, and I think he maybe still does it a little bit, but he used to love to rant and rave on Facebook. He would put all of his problems and he would complain and he would whinge on Facebook. It was part of his daily Facebook posting. And I used to think that the way to support him was to say to him, oh yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I've had that experience too. Or I would offer him advice or solutions.
Right.
That did two things. One was that when I say, oh yeah, I know exactly what you feel, or, you know, I've had that experience too, and aren't they just horrible? It just meant that both of us continued to be stuck in complaining about a particular situation. And the other thing that happened was I would offer solutions as a way of supporting him, and the solutions wouldn't work because, well, they were my solutions. Mm. They weren't his solutions.
Right.
And I was attempting to be an expert about what he needed. And then I learned clean language, and then he would rant and rave on Facebook, and I would repeat back his words, and I would say, and it's tiring and you're angry. And when it's tiring and you're angry, what would you like to have happen? The impact that it had on him was he had to pause to think about what he wanted instead of being tired and angry. And that allowed him space inside to think about, hey, maybe I can consider something else instead of ranting and raving about what's bugging me. If you think about it, the more energy and time and effort we spend thinking about speaking about our problem, how much time and energy and resources would we have left to think about solutions or outcomes? Mm-hmm. We're kind of limiting ourselves to just being stuck in problem.
And yeah, I guess it's important to remember that even though that might seem like something that's obvious to you or to some people that Facebook ranting isn't the way to go, it's not that obvious for someone who's in that situation.
Yeah, I think what I was noticing about my friend was that he wasn't in a very resourceful place and he wasn't getting the kind of life that he wanted. So it's okay to complain and it's okay to bitch. We allow ourselves a 10-minute power bitch every now and again because, you know, sometimes you just need to get it out of your system. And when I'm doing it, I'm well aware that I'm still stuck in problem. If I want to be even more successful, even more effective, I would do things to begin moving myself towards some kind of desired outcome. Because the science demonstrates that people are a lot more efficient, a lot more successful if they focus their resources, their creativity, their energies on a desired outcome.
Jacqueline Ansarin, a clean language facilitator at AMK Transformations. When we come back, we'll go through the questions we can ask to move from problem to outcome. And I might share a problem I'm facing to see if Jacqueline can help find an outcome through asking some clean questions. Don't go anywhere. This is Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9. Good morning. You're listening to Raise Your Game. I'm Tasha Fusil, and I'm here with Jacqueline Ansarin for our month-long series on clean language. For those who are just tuning in, clean language is a way of communication that's well, clean, meaning it's free from personal opinions or judgments or intentions. So in a coaching situation, you'd ask clean questions to help the other person arrive at their own solutions or understanding. Today, we're talking about how to use clean language to get from a state of problem to a state of outcome. So Jacqueline, in this situation, do you ask different questions to get a person from problem to remedy to outcome?
Another great question. So there are four questions, clean questions, that we would ask in the PRO model. So if somebody presents to you a problem statement, For example, it's terribly hot. Then I would say, and when it's terribly hot, followed by the clean question of, what would you like to have happen? So if it's a problem, the question to ask is, what would you like to have happen? Other ways of thinking about it in a conversational way is like, okay, and so you're hot. What would you like to do? Or what are you going to do about it? Or what do you prefer? These are some other conversational ways of asking people to step out of problem and think about some kind of solution or outcome.
Right.
If somebody presents you with a remedy sentence where they're still mentioning the problem and they want to stop the problem or diminish it, so they're still thinking about the problem, then the question to ask would be, and when you do that, and so if I gave you the example of, I want to stop feeling so hot, and when you stop feeling so hot, the clean question next would be, then what happens? Or what happens next? Those two are interchangeable. So it's about getting them to imagine, moving time forward, what would happen if they implemented that remedy. And if somebody just comes up very clearly with an outcome, I would like to be cool, then you would ask two kinds of clean developing questions. The first would be, what kind of cool is that cool? And the second clean question to develop that outcome even more for the person would be, and is there anything else about that cool?
Why is that an important question to ask?
It's to help the person develop. The way I think about it is that as somebody begins to think about their experience, it's like a hologram is emerging. And as I ask them these clean questions, the hologram can crystallize and become even clearer. And again, the psychology and the science demonstrates that the more we can imagine something happening, the more likely it is that it will happen. You know about the placebo effect, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Because people believe that a placebo medication is the real thing, they can actually heal even though they took the placebo medication, which doesn't have any of the real properties of actual medication. The mind is a really powerful thing. So the more life you give to their desired outcome in their minds, the more likely it is that it will happen, or the more likely they will feel empowered or enabled to make it happen.
Okay, great. You know, to give a better understanding of how clean questions can help someone move from a problem state to an outcome state. Is that what you would call it?
Yeah. Okay. So from problem to outcome.
From problem to outcome. Okay, yeah. So I'm going to offer myself up as a guinea pig and then see where this takes me.
Okay. All right. So think about a current challenge that you're having. It doesn't have to be too big of a challenge. It could be a mild or moderate challenge that you're having. That you're willing to share on air?
Yes. I have to filter through the challenges. Okay, just waking up on time. Can I do that?
Sure.
Okay.
And so what's the problem right now? Could you just say it in a problem sentence?
Okay, so I'm too lazy or I'm too tired to wake up on time to do the things that I want to do before I go to work.
You're too tired or you're too lazy to wake up on time to do the things you want to do before you go to work. And when you're too tired or you're too lazy to wake up on time, what would you like to have happen?
I would like to not feel lazy. I'd like to feel excited to wake up on time.
So notice that you've just moved into outcome quite quickly.
Oh.
I'd like to feel excited. When excited, what kind of excited is that?
What kind of excited? Just, I think, happy to start my day and happy to do the things that I would normally. I want to exercise in the morning, right? So I want to feel excited about exercising because I know it's going to help me in the long run throughout the day. It's going to help me throughout the day. But yeah.
And you'd like to exercise in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of exercise is that exercise?
Just a very quick 30-minute exercise, nothing too taxing.
And a quick 30-minute exercise, nothing too taxing. And is there anything else about that exercise that's a quick 30-minute exercise?
It doesn't take long, but it's tiring.
It doesn't take long, but it's tiring.
Yeah.
And when it's like that, what would you like to have happen when it's tiring?
I'd like for it to feel like second nature, like it doesn't matter that it's tiring.
And you like to feel like it's second nature, that it's not tiring.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of feel is that feel when you feel like that?
Like it's as normal as breathing?
Normal as breathing.
Yes.
And what kind of breathing is that breathing?
A breathing that's going to keep me alive and healthy and well.
And a breathing that's going to keep you alive and healthy and well. And when breathing like that, uh-huh. that keeps you healthy and well, where is that breathing?
Where is it? Like physically? Here in my face?
And here in your face.
Okay, yes.
And is there anything else you know now about breathing here in your face?
Well, I know I need to breathe. Mm. So I need to exercise. Mm. Oh. So exercising is just as important as breathing? Maybe.
So what do you know now about being excited about exercising in the morning?
That it's going to make me healthy and well, and that it's going to feel good, like breathing.
Okay. What difference does it make, having just done that very quick one?
Obviously, you're no longer dwelling on the fact that you want to sleep and that you can't be bothered. It's more about how it's going to be good for you and how nice it feels to be breathing.
So what was going on for you when I was asking you those questions?
I don't know. I think I was just going with whatever was coming out of my brain. But the thing is, you know that exercise is good for you. So what does this conversation... I mean, this is all about just having that positive reinforcement with yourself.
It's about... what are you paying attention to?
Mm.
And like I said, the mind is a really powerful thing. The more you pay attention to something that you would like to have happen, the more likely you are to do it.
Okay.
The more you think about, I can't wake up in the morning, I'm tired, I'm too lazy.
Right.
The more your energy and your attention is on that, the less likely it is that you might start to think about strategies for waking up or being excited in the morning to exercise.
Mm.
I can give you another quick example if we have time. A participant in one of our programs had lost the locker to her key. And for the longest time, I think it was for a few months, she said, I can't open my locker. I can't open my locker. I've lost the key. And one day then she was reminded that actually she could just use the clean question of what would I like to have happen on herself. And so she did. And so she went, oh, and when I can't open the locker, what would I like to have happen? And she went immediately into outcome. I'd like to be able to open the locker.
Right.
And that set her off on a creative solution. She went back to her office, asked the office manager for all the keys that the office manager had, tried every single one of them, and voila, one of those keys opened her locker and she was able to retrieve her stuff inside the locker. For weeks, she was just focused on, I've lost my key, I can't open my locker. And all her attention was on the problem. The minute she could shift her attention to what she wanted to have happen instead, she could begin to be resourceful and creative about a solution.
Great. Okay, well, thank you so much, Jacqueline. If someone wanted to learn more or find out a little bit more about clean language and how to use clean questions, what can they do?
So there's loads of stuff online on clean language. And if people wanted to get an ebook that we've written called Getting to Outcomes at Work, which share with you all of the principles of clean listening and give you the 8 basic clean questions, please go to our website. The website address is amktransformations.com. And you could scroll all the way down on the homepage and register your email and your name, or you could click on resources and recommended books to register your name and email, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy of that ebook, Getting to Outcomes at Work. And the other thing that my associate and I both offer is we both offer a confidential, obligation-free, complimentary 20-minute clean coaching session on the phone or on Skype. So just get in touch with us through the website or at amktoffice@gmail.com or by phone. The number would be 016-912-7019.
All right, great. Thank you, Jacqueline. Next week in the series, we'll look at using clean language in teams, and I'll be bringing in a couple of producers from our other shows to experiment. So be sure to tune in at the same time next week for that. This has been Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.